Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through verse 48. You've heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. There are many things that Jesus taught that we might consider to be difficult. Scripture teaches us that we are to repent. We're to forgive as often as necessary. In Luke, the 17th chapter, there, verses 1 through 5, Jesus said to his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. The Jews resented other people and other nations. In order to obey the command of Jesus, it took a great deal of faith. Well, Jesus said, if your brother sins against you seven times a day, and seven times a day turns and says, I repent, forgive him. The disciples said to the Lord, increase our faith. It takes a great deal of faith to forgive multiple times. And here Jesus said, multiple times in a day, same day. He says, I repent, you forgive me. So there are many things in Christianity that are not easy. There are bad habits that have to be overcome. There are attitudes that have to be changed. There are hard feelings that have to be dealt with. Bad language. Dealing with petty differences. These kinds of things have to be worked through. And it can indeed take time. All this doesn't happen overnight. But in the text that we read from, Jesus said, love your enemies. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. What we refer to as the golden rule. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, and what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Hard sayings in those verses. How can I love someone who hurts me? Who abuses me? Who talks bad about me? Or someone who hurts my family? Someone who hurts my children? Maybe even a little baby. How can I love someone like that? So maybe we can identify a little bit with the apostles when they said, Lord, increase our faith. I want you to think with me for our time this morning. Am I loving those we dislike? We might ask the question, what kind of love is Jesus talking about when he said there in Matthew chapter 5, love your enemies? You heard it been said of old time. Love your neighbor, hate your enemies. Jesus said, I'm telling you, love your enemies. What kind of love is Jesus talking about here in this context? Do I love my enemy like I love my wife, like I love my children? Is it the same kind of love? Is it this sort of warm, fuzzy feeling that we have? This tender affection that we have for our family and even our friends? As Thayer defines this word love, it is the Greek word agape, which is the Greek word that's used in reference to the love that God has for us. It means to have preference for, to wish well to, or to regard the welfare of. As Vine defines this word, he said Christian love toward men generally is not an impulse from feeling. It does not run with natural inclination. The love that Jesus is talking about here is not something that just happens naturally. It's not something that's just born into you, like love for your children, love for your spouse, someone who you are really close to, a friend that you love. Not that kind of love. What we're talking about here is a learned behavior. As we mature spiritually, we realize that even our enemies have a soul. Have you ever had someone who, as we say today, they just know how to push your buttons? We said when I was growing up, they just know how to get you goat. I don't hear people use that phrase very much anymore, but we know about people who just know how to get next to you, get under your skin. They make you angry. They make you have hard feelings. Some of those people you just can't stand to be around. But as we grow and we mature spiritually, we understand that those people too have a soul. That God loves them too. What we're doing is regarding the welfare of those who maybe would even do us harm. The kind of love that's extended to those that we don't like is extended as if we did like them. It's not hypocritical. It's not a pretended love. It doesn't mean that I really like those individuals. This love does not demand that I like that person. But it does demand that I have an interest in their soul. That I want to see them saved. And so this is a genuine love. Scripture teaches that there was a time when God didn't like us. Paul Romans says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were in a state of being unlovable, God loved us. So we're not suggesting that this kind of love demands that I like everybody. Some people I don't like. I'm sure there's some people that you don't like. But I have to love everybody. I have to be willing to help. Even when I don't want to. Even when I would like, as we used to say, to let them stew in their own juice. When I'd like to just let them fall off the end of the earth. I can't feel that way. if I'm a child of God. You remember in Luke chapter 10, there this Samaritan helped the Jew. And you remember what the Samaritan woman said to Jesus when he stopped there at the well and asked her for a drink of water? She said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of a Samaritan? And a woman at that. The Samaritans and Jews didn't like each other. Jews especially didn't like Samaritans. They'd go across the Jordan River and go up on the other side of the river to keep from just traveling through the country of Samaria. That's how much they didn't like them. They thought the Samaritans are just a dog out in the street. But this Samaritan helped this individual who had fallen among thieves. And apparently he was a Jew. Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 42. The love that Jesus is talking about here is the same kind of love that God has for us. You remember John chapter 3, verse 16, we sometimes refer to it as the golden text of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And in a passage we referenced in Romans chapter 5, there verse 8 through 10, but God committed his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, let that sink in. Jesus said, love your enemies. Now listen to what God's love is. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We were made friends with God again. That's what the word reconcile means. To reconcile means to make friends. The prefix re means again. Mankind was friends with God in one time, but he fell. Now he has to be reconciled, be brought back to God. And that's accomplished through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for us while we were sinners. So the question, did God send his Son to die for us because we were likable? I suggest to you that he didn't. We were unlovable. We were enemies of God. This is the kind of love Jesus is talking about. Now the question arises, how in the world can I obey this commandment? How can I do what Jesus told me to do? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. How can I do this? That's what Jesus said to do there in verse 27 of Luke chapter 6. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Do good to them. Hard to do good to people who hate you. What I have to do is initiate benevolent action for spiteful action. I don't go with my first impulse. Apostle Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, obviously, Paul don't mean a literal coals of fire that you set his hair on fire. But what you're doing is causing that individual to realize the kind of person that they are. By your good actions, by your benevolent, unspiteful actions toward them, you cause them to realize just how bad they really are. For in so doing, when you initiate these benevolent actions toward those individuals, you cause them to understand just how bad they are. And so if you're injured, you seek opportunity to do good. Well, somebody ultimately asked the question then, Does this mean that I can't pursue legal means for compensation for injury? When someone just literally runs over me with their automobile, or they run into me and destroy my automobile, does that mean I'm laid up in the hospital and got all these hospital bills that I can't try to recoup my losses? That I can't hold them responsible, hold them accountable for what they did? I don't think so. Holding someone accountable may indeed be a means of showing them the kind of love that Jesus here is teaching. Over in Acts, the 25th chapter, there's a record there of the Apostle Paul, verses 1 through 11. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him, and desired favor against him that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. These people are ready to hide in ambush and kill Paul. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them, therefore, said he, which among you are able to go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any weakness in him. And when he tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come back, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. Basically, they're just standing up there lying about Paul, trying to get him condemned. They want him dead. They couldn't prove the charges. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Will thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. You understand what Paul's doing here? He's using due legal process. He's a Roman citizen. He has his right. He's being falsely accused. He said, Festus, you know that I haven't done anything wrong. You know these charges they've got against me are false. But if they want to bring charges against me, I'm going to Supreme Court. I appeal to Caesar. It is judgment seat where I ought to be judged. Because he's a Roman citizen. He has that right to appeal to the highest court in the land. He required the Jews to appear and to defend their charges. And when they got over to Rome, they didn't come. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 teaches us that God chastens those whom he loves. We understand this principle in dealing with our children. Sometimes the way we show them love is by taking a little keen hickory switch and using it properly. Or maybe we use our hand. We apply it to the proper place. Maybe we send them to the room. Take the privileges away from them. There are any number of different kinds of punishment that we can use in disciplining our children. Notice what Hebrews 12 and verse 6 says, For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He disciplines, punishes, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You remember what scourging involved? They scourged Jesus. What did they do?
They whipped him with whips. With whips that I'm told had little bits of glass or rock or pieces of metal tied in the end of the whip. When these scenes were depicted in the movie, I didn't see it. I don't want to see it. But people that did see it said it was so bloody you couldn't hardly watch it. Well, they depicted the kind of treatment that they gave to Jesus. And that was called scourging. The Lord scourges every son whom he receives. He disciplines. He corrects. By whatever means necessary to bring about the correct behavior. When I do good to those who hate me, when I love my enemies, I do my best to remove any stumbling block from their path. We have to recognize the difference between revenge and justice. Scripture says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I don't have any right to vengeance. But I do have a right to justice. And I'm thankful we live in a country that allows us to pursue justice. And so sometimes showing love demands that I hold someone accountable for their actions. When he said, bless those that curse you, the word bless means to speak well of. We reply to bitter words with kind words. The natural response is to reply in kind. But in Luke chapter 6, verse 28, bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Romans 12, verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. 1 Peter 3, beginning in verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, or stay away from evil, and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing. You don't reply in kind. You do contrary to what sometimes the natural impulse is. You remember in Genesis, the 4th to 5th chapter, when Joseph's brethren came to him and he finally made himself known to them. And they're scared to death. Because Joseph is second to Pharaoh. He can tell somebody to cut their heads off and they cut their heads off. He had that kind of power. But when Joseph met with his brethren, he had his cry. He told them, you meant what you did for evil, but God meant it for good. We need to continually remember the attitude that Joseph had toward his brethren. They sold him as a slave. He worked as a slave. Spent time in prison, falsely accused, because of what his brothers did. You meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good. He sent me down here before to preserve your life. As we talked in our Bible class this morning, we can't see the end from the beginning, but God can. We just have to keep on keeping on, doing what we can to help those who would do what we say as mistreating us, trying to do us harm. We need to pray for those that mistreat us. Luke 6, 28. Pray for them that despitefully use you, persecute you. You know, it's hard to pray for somebody. Hard to hate somebody rather than when you're praying for them. You remember Stephen in Acts the 7th chapter. When they were stoning him to death, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he said this, he fell asleep. He died. They're literally stoning him to death. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. You think he really liked those people? I suspect not. But he prayed for them. Jesus himself in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, I suppose is the best example. They nailed him to the cross. He's hanging there suspended between heaven and earth, dying. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Pray for them. We're not talking about just in generalities. I'm not saying that I pray for my enemies. But be specific. People that you know, they're trying to hurt you, saying spiteful things about you. Call them by name. Pray to God for them. Well, somebody says, why? That question always comes up. Why? Why should I obey this command? Well, we've already noted, it's not so we can turn them into friends. This idea that if you're nice to people, they'll be nice to you is not necessarily true. You know that well as I do. Sometimes you be nice to people and they just take advantage of you. They want more and more and more. We're not trying to pacify people. We're just trying to do what the Lord wants us to do. To love them. Be concerned about them. Care for their soul. We obey this command to demonstrate the love of God. We're trying to make them see themselves in the light of God's love. And hopefully they're seeing in us. God's love is demonstrated for us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, so we also ought to love one another. If God loved us, we ought to love one another. So we show the love for others by obeying God's word. As we noted in Matthew chapter 5, there at verse 46, this is a requisite for our being a child of God. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? If you salute your brethren, only what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans the same? Sinners love those who love them, but notice back verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. That ye may be children of your Father. You're not a child of God unless you love your enemies. That's a scary thought. It is to me. I can't be a child of God unless I love my enemies. It helps us to be different, to do more than others. We noted there in verse 46 and 47 of Matthew chapter 5. If I just salute my friends, if I just say hello to the people that are my buddies, people that I enjoy being around, I'm not any different than any sinner, because they do the same thing. Christians do more than others. And so this is so we can be like our Father in heaven. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. There in verse 48 of our text, Matthew chapter 5. Be ye therefore perfect or complete. You're not complete unless you're showing the kind of love for others that God showed to you. He's not talking about being without sin. He's talking about being mature. Being complete. Not only be loving toward friends and neighbors, but we need to express our Christianity through our demonstrating our love even to our enemies. Loving those we dislike. Not easy, but absolutely necessary. Well, somebody says, preacher, everything you say is great. But I just can't do that. Well, I'm telling you, you can, but only with God's help. Philippians 4, verse 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Whatever God requires of me, I can do that with the help of my Lord. He demonstrated exactly what he wants me to do. He showed me. I have a record of what he did. I can read it. I can understand what my Lord did. And so we can and will overcome by the power of God. We can because we are a new person. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Different from the world. We're a child of God. We imitate our Father. Specifically, our older brother, Jesus Christ, who demonstrated for us the love of God. He goes on and said, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What that means is that we're demonstrating, we're showing to other people what our Lord did. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. It's our job to demonstrate to the world the love of God. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He sent Jesus to this low ground of sin and sorrow to suffer, bleed, and die for you and for me. So then that we can be made the righteousness of God in him. So we can be made over. We can be made into a new creature. Loving those we dislike. The question that each individual must answer for themselves. Have I become that new creation in Christ? Have I put on Christ? Am I demonstrating by my life what God has shown to me through his Son, Jesus Christ? Do I really care for those that I don't like? Those that try to hurt me? Try to do me bad turns? Do I try to do good for them? Pray for them? Do I have the kind of love for them that the Lord had for me? While I was a sinner, Christ died for me. While I was unlovable, he loved me enough to give his life as a sacrifice so that my sins could be hidden, they could be covered. He is a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. If you're in this audience and you understand that you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We love you. We want you to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have obeyed the gospel and you realize that you haven't demonstrated by your life the kind of love that God had for you, you need to repent and seek his forgiveness. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing for encouragement.